Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship, San Lorenzo, California. Today's message is entitled, The Reformation, Scripture Alone, from the books of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, and the book of Psalms chapter 119, verses 1 through 8. This message was just preached on January 1st, 2017. We hope you enjoyed this message by Dr. Michael Wilson.
Many have said it already, I'll say it again. Happy New Year, happy 2017. Many people all over the place, on the news and on the internet, some are hopeful that 2017 will be better, although they do not say what was wrong with 2016, but we're always looking for things to be better. Others are happy that 2016 is over. But they need to realize that these year markings are something we invented. They're not ordained by God. We just say it is a passing of a year so that we can celebrate again and again and again. Now, there are many things to celebrate in 2017. We will have birthdays, we will have anniversaries, we'll have another Christmas in 2017. But if you're a Protestant Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and not part of the Catholic Church, there is an anniversary that is phenomenal. That anniversary is 500 years since the Reformation. 500 years ago this year, in 1517, Martin Luther started the Reformation. And so to explain what Martin Luther did and why he did it, we need a little bit of church history, if you will. Back in the late 1400s, early 1500s, you had a pope by the name of Leo X. And Leo X was in many ways full of himself. He wanted big buildings and he didn't like what the previous popes had done. And so he gathers together the holy architects and says, build me a kingdom, basically. And one of them says, well, I can build you one of these. That's St. Peter's Basilica. He was effective in building that. And he goes, well, I don't know. Another one said, well, there's this up-and-coming artist, and he can paint you one of these. Sistine Chapel. And he was sold. And he said, but how are we going to raise the money? This is clearly going to cost a lot. And in today's dollars, what was built would cost about $4 billion for all that was done and the hours and hours and hours and years that were put into it. And so he called all of his people together. Now, remember that if you were a Christian back in 1495, for example, you really only had one choice where to go worship, and that would be a Roman Catholic church. There were a few flavors of Orthodox. You had your Russian Orthodox, you had your Eastern Orthodox, but they were very small compared to the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholic Church was a world power at that point in time. They had set up governments, they had a taxation system going, a worldwide taxation system. And so if you were a believer in Jesus Christ at any level, you had the only choice of going to a Catholic church on Sunday. Elsewhere in the world, you did have Hinduism existed, Buddhism existed, and Islam existed, but if you wanted to be a Christian, you had to be Roman Catholic. That is how it was in 1495. And so these things are presented in front of Pope Leo X. And he says, okay, how are we going to pay for it? We can only tax the people so much until you just bleed everybody dry and then there's no more money. How are you going to do it? And he sends his counselors out to figure it out. And a guy by the name of Johann Tetzel comes, and he says, I can do it. I can raise the money in a year. And the Pope said, how are you going to do that? And he said, remember back in the back of the manual of traditions and stuff, there's this thing called purgatory that was not in much use, and purgatory was kind of invented by the church to explain how really bad people could end up in heaven, because purgatory was a place where we pay for our own sins. Christ pays for a bunch of them, but if I sin a lot, I got to pay for my own sin in purgatory, and then I graduate and I go to heaven. So it's kind of way, but it wasn't used. It isn't even really sure whether the church believed in it a lot at that point, at this point. But Tetzel says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to tell everybody that everybody they've ever known, everybody they've ever loved, and you, when you die, are going to go to purgatory, not for a week, not for 10 days, but for 100,000 years. And he said, we'll go from town to town. And he said, that'll break people's hearts. And he was right. And he says, we'll then say, well, if you give $100, that'll take 1,000 years off of their time in purgatory. Give $200, and that takes 2,000 years off. And that was called indulgences, because you were buying a way for God to forgive your sin, where you could indulge in sin and then buy your way out of it. And so he was selling indulgences. And he became very famous because he would go throughout all of Europe and he would set up little booths like that. And he would sing little songs, and he actually taught kids nursery rhymes. And he was a marketing genius, and the money just flowed in because he was convincing people that great, 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 great grandparents were still in purgatory being tortured by demons. All this is a lie, of course. None of this happens. Purgatory does not exist. But he convinced people that their relatives were in such intense pain that people would empty bank accounts, people would sell houses, people would basically give all their money to the church so that their relatives could get out of purgatory and not be tortured anymore. And so one day in 1517, he wanders into Germany. Big old church. It's called the Castle Church of Wittenberg. Still there in Germany. During the Middle Ages, it was a big fortress city. And when the Roman Catholics took over Europe, they turned some places like that into these huge cathedrals. So big old church, and he knew that these people in Wittenberg, Germany were devoted, were somebody who believed in the church, so he knew he could sell it. And so he starts wandering around with his little sing-song stuff, taking la-di-da-di-da, you know, buy your indulgences today, two for one, da-da-da, all the stuff he was doing. And there was a monk in the castle church who was a teaching monk. And his name was Martin Luther. And so Martin Luther heard that a representative of the Vatican was coming. And being a Roman Catholic, because as I said before, every Christian was a Roman Catholic, he wanted to go see what this guy was all about. So he goes and listens to his speech, and he listens to his songs, and then he scratches his head because he says, I know my Bible, and in fact, he was an expert on the book of Romans. If you went to Bible school in Germany, you would be taught by Martin Luther the book of Romans, okay? And he said, Romans talks about grace and talks about faith, and there's really no money changing hands in the book of Romans. And I'm sure he had a concordance, and he looked under P, and the purgatory wasn't there, and he looked under I, and indulgence wasn't there, and the whole concept of bringing your sinfulness to God with cash and God accepting the cash and forgiving your sin, more forgiveness based on more cash, was insane, according to Martin Luther. He couldn't figure out what Rome was doing. He was a good, solid Catholic. He believed in what the church was doing, in charitable works, and in keeping peace in the world. But he felt that these things that Tetzel was doing had gone over the line. So he didn't reject Catholicism. He rejected purgatory and indulgences. And so on October 31st, well, first, there he is. Come on. There he is. We know what he looked like. They painted back then, and there's paintings of pictures, and that's what Martin Luther looked like. And he lived from 1481 to 1546. And in 1517, October 31st, he wrote out what are called his 95 theses, or his 95 statements, his 95 condemnations against purgatory and indulgences and in spending and paying money for the forgiveness of sins. And he went through in 95 points everything that Romans says about salvation and what the book of Romans says we do to be saved and what the book of Romans says God does to get us saved. Now his goal, and he's very clear about this, after everything fell apart and he was chased around the world, he believed, he wrote, that he did not want to reform the Catholic Church. He just wanted to cancel the whole purgatory thing and get that out of their doctrine. Two things caused the Reformation to succeed on October 31st, 1517. First, Wittenberg had a printing press. And you say, so? Well, not everybody had a printing press. The printing press was invented in about 1485, 1487, something around that. They figured out movable type so that I could print one thing, change the letters around, print another thing. Prior to this, I had to carve out of a piece of wood what I wanted on a piece of paper, then print it, then carve another piece of wood. So they had invented movable type, and Wittenberg was such a rich town that they had a printing press. And the owner of the printing press, who was kind of anti-Catholic, grabbed that big old piece of paper off the door of the Wittenberg church, where it was nailed up, and made 300 copies. So that by the next day, everybody in town had a copy of Martin Luther's complaints. If that didn't happen, it would have been easy for another priest to take that, take it down, burn it, and we would never know who Martin Luther is. And so God made this happen in a town with a printing press. Second thing that Wittenberg had was a guy named Frederick the Great. Frederick is called the Great because he also had a castle and he had an army and he hated the Roman Catholic taxation. So when people came after Luther to kill him because they wanted to burn him at the stake, when people did things like this and the Roman Catholic Church had a hold on that town, they would come and they would burn you at the stake. That is how they got rid of heretics, and what he was saying was heretical according to their teaching. But Frederick said, come into my castle. And he had a bigger army than the Roman Catholic Church at that time, and so he lived. He lived for another 30 years writing and doing the things that he did. Ultimately, he was called to Rome, and he was told to recant or to change his mind. And his famous words, he basically said, "I can't. On the word of God, I stand firm." Then he ran for his life because they wanted to kill him for many years. And what came out of this protest is the Protestant movement. After him, John Calvin started a reformation in Scotland, and Ulrich Zwingli started a reformation in Switzerland. Zwingli felt the best way to do it was to raise an army and storm the monastery and kick everybody out. So he actually reformed by force. But those three men are considered the reformers that over 500 years to where we are today, we stand on what they did. Because of their work, we are not Roman Catholics. Because of what they did, we are Protestants, because we protested indulgences and purgatory. And out of that came more denominations than you can count. And so you still have the Roman Catholic Church, and I have talked with priests, and I have said, "What do you have to say about purgatory and indulgences?" And they're ashamed. They don't like to talk about it. So they still believe in purgatory and special cases. But you will not find a Roman Catholic today who believes you pay money for forgiveness. That was a strange time with some very greedy people taking the church too far. And so after he wrote his 95 Theses, and after things began to come against Luther, he did a series of other writings, and he has written several books, of which you can get now. They were written in German. He was a German monk. He spoke German and he wrote in German, but they have all been translated into a bunch of languages, especially English. And you can actually get his commentaries, and you can get his teaching materials on Galatians and Romans. And one thing that he did when they said, "Well, if you don't believe in the Catholic Church, what do you believe in? What are you going to stand on?" He said, "I'm going to stand on the five solas." Solas is a Latin word which means alone. And he said, "There are five things in Scripture which are non-negotiable, which if you take any one of them away," Luther would say, "you're not a believer. You're not saved." The first is we live our lives and do our church based on Scripture alone. Second, we are saved by Christ alone, through grace alone, by faith alone, and God alone gets the glory. And so he said, these things which you do not find even today in Catholic doctrine, today you will find in the heart of the Catholic Church, they will have truth. They say truth is a three-legged stool. Scripture is one of the legs. Tradition is another leg. And the third leg is what they call the teachings of the church, things that the Pope has taught over the years and they've written down. And these things are equal. And Luther and we say, no, it is Scripture and Scripture only, that there is no equal to it on earth, that there is nothing on earth that can stand up to Scripture. There is nothing on earth that can supersede Scripture. There is nothing on earth that can be equal to Scripture. And this really upset the Catholic Church at that time. And to say that it is Christ alone was offensive, because they say it's the work of Christ and sacraments and things you do. So when I take communion in a Catholic church, I'm getting a little piece of salvation. They call it a sacrament, a holy thing. And the more I do that, the more saved I am. So Christ in their world gets me in the door, and then the church takes me the rest of the way. And it's things like this that Luther said through extensive biblical study, and he was a biblical scholar. He said, no, these five things are foundational. These five things are only things, solas. They are things that we must hold on to, and we can take the rest and throw it away as long as we have these five. You are saved by the blood of Christ. And so today I want to very quickly look at the first one, because it's really quite easy. To say Scripture only means only Scripture. Means if I believe something about God, if I believe something about my salvation or sin or history, I have to be able to get it from Scripture. I have to be able to defend my position from Scripture. Now, there is theology that has been developed, and like we read the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is not Scripture, but an early group of Christians, not the Apostles, but people who knew the Apostles probably, looked through Scripture, the New Testament, and summarized it. And they did that because they wanted children primarily to know the truths of Scripture. And if I can memorize a creed, if I can memorize a confession that's shorter than the book of Romans, then when I believe things, I can point to where I get it from. And I can point to my confession, and my confession would point to Scripture. Sadly, over the years, the church got political, and the church got very ingrown, and so Martin Luther had to say, no, stop. God pushed Martin Luther to do that. I'm sure of it. He was sure of it. To say no and to basically start again, and that's what happened in 1517, is the churches that we have today were born then. And you have denominations like your Baptists, like your Lutherans, like your Episcopals in the early days were very pro-Scripture, were very Scripture only, and the preaching that was happening in those churches were scriptural, biblical preaching. But you see that as churches, denominations grow, you see some of the high church churches really compromising on morals and really compromising on what is right and what is wrong. And some would say that every couple centuries you need a reformation, you need to start over, because the bigger a church organization will get, and I'm talking at the denominational level, you will have people who want money, who want power, who are greedy, and who will come up with Scripture that's a little off and teaching that's a little different to enhance and grow their own bank accounts. And the world recognizes that, and that's why you have shows on TV entitled The World's Richest Pastors. There shouldn't be such a show on TV, but there is, and there's plenty of candidates of organizations that have gotten greedy and selfish. And we need to watch ourselves in this church and in the things you believe to say, where did I get that? Did I get that from some strange sermon on TV? Or did I get it from Romans chapter 8 or something? If you can point to a specific section of Scripture and say, I believe this or that because it says it here in black and white, then you are doing what Luther had done, and you are doing what needs to be done all the time. We need to be constantly checking ourselves and in many ways reforming ourselves, because we will hear things and we'll understand things and we'll question things, and before you know it, our beliefs are way out in the cornfield. And we do that not because, or not from watching TV shows or reading a mystery novel, unless the mystery novel is like Samuel. That's a good mystery novel. We need to be in the Bible. And one thing that people can do, and people all over the world are vowing that today they are going to start reading their Bible every day, that they're going to read a little bit every day. And there's even plans. You can even buy a Bible that's called Read the Bible in a Year, and they even divide it up in print to read it through. And if you do that, you will get a deeper understanding. You may come to passages and say, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Christians shouldn't say that. We need to know our Bible. We need to know what's in the Bible, and we need to understand what it means and how to apply it. Now, we do things, of course, here that are modern, that aren't in the Bible. They didn't have stained glass in the Bible, but we have stained glass because it's beautiful and it shows the glory of God, it is believed. That's the defense for a big old stained glass cross. They wouldn't know how to make that in the time of Jesus, so it's not in the Bible. But we do it and we can defend it from Scripture, and it's not like we are doing all these strange things and twisting Scripture to prove it. I could pull in 25 pastors from 10 different denominations, and they would find nothing wrong with how the church is built. And that's kind of how we have to check ourselves, that if we're wondering, why do I believe this and I can't really figure it out, ask somebody. Call somebody that you're sitting next to. Call me. And through that, you will grow in the knowledge of God. And when things come your way and bizarre teaching comes your way, you can, like Martin Luther 500 years ago, can stand on Scripture alone. And by standing on Scripture alone, we know that we are saved. We know that when we pass on, we don't go to any place called purgatory. We go straight into the presence of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible says it several different places in multiple different books. That is a common teaching in Scripture. You don't even have to hunt for it. That when we are not here, we are in the presence of God, and Jesus Christ is there. And He will say, well done, good and faithful servant, and we will live forever in His presence. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, I just praise Your name that You picked an obscure little monk called Martin Luther and You gave him the courage and the strength to stand against the behemoth of the Roman Catholic Church. Help us to stand on what he did, that 500 years later, the Bible is still Your word. It is still Scripture alone. It is still Your word against the world. And if Martin Luther could stand against a corrupt church, then we can stand against a corrupt world. Lord, we praise You for that, and we ask Your blessing upon this time. We ask this through the blood of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Free Today. This has been a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California, 94580. Email us for more information at info@livingfreetoday.org. Our website is www.livingfreetoday.org. Our telephone number is 510-278-2622. If you're looking for a church, come visit us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for Bible study and at 10:45 Sunday morning. God bless you as you live daily in His presence. This has been Deacon Luis Ramazzini, Living Free Today.